We hate them, we love them, and DJ Damo's back. It's the Day Trippers!
Okay, good evening. In the house tonight, we have Phil Casey, we have the Northside superstar that is Ray Brady, and our very own DJ Damo in the house. He's back after a long absence. And myself, Steve-O, here. We're going to run through a few things. Obviously, the Swansea game at the weekend. We have a little bit of a break coming up now because of the international break, so we'll have a little bit of shite talk as well and get right into it now. It's the Day Trippers. Okay, so we did cover a little bit of it on Periscope there, but let's get into it. So first of all, Damo, yep. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Great to see you again. Long time.
How's the racing there going to Kempton?
Deadly.
How many winners this evening?
I had a lovely lucky 15 on Saturday.
No, we're talking about tonight. How much have you lost?
No, he's
now?
Lost it all back since.
Lost me wallet. I got chased down here. That's like I'm here. Yeah. The monkey on his money. Fuck you.
We'll see you Thursday. Razor, welcome back.
Cheers.
No worries. Can we talk into the mic?
Yeah, sorry.
Thanks very much. Massive difference. And Filippo, you're back with us.
I am, briefly. But yeah, I could be running off very quickly.
Yeah. He's keeping an eye on that phone. It's time to...
He's on Pornhub again.
Listen, first of all, good win at the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, we've turned a corner.
We talked about this. I'm always cautious about that. Like, I will need us to be in a Champions League spot in the last weekend of May before I believe that we're going to get there.
And four points clear
with no games left to play.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying by that. But look, as you said earlier on, the sign of us making progress as a club, forget about, as you said, winning the league or qualification for Champions League, which is obviously our aim and Klopp's aim, no doubt. But for us to be going in at half time, as we have so many times before, just come up against, not say dross, because Damo will get to it because he made the point on Periscope. Swansea were very effective at the start of the game. You know, they came out with a game plan and they put it into effect. And yes, we had a couple of chances, half chances, but that's all we had. I don't think, did we have a shot on target in the first half?
None.
Yeah, I don't think so. So we had a couple of half chances that probably could have been done better with them. But other than that, Swansea had a very effective game plan. They yet again caught us with our Achilles heel, which is a set piece. And then we're very comfortable after that. Probably for the first 35 minutes.
Well, that chances though as well, didn't they?
Absolutely.
The clear blading header there that your man should have buried.
Well, I tell you, I'd have been worried had Llorente been playing. Mm. I think had he been up top, we could have been in trouble because we could have been two, maybe even three down with the chances they had.
Mm. And much as the... I know there's sort of talk there as well about, I don't particularly fancy us. It might take a few more games like that, but I don't fancy us chasing matches either.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, it's just, we look so much better and thing. Once we get a early goal, the other team pushes out and all of a sudden we look fucking amazing, you know. And, you know, it was the same thing. You were seeing us going a goal behind. They had a couple of chances. We couldn't stitch three or four passes together and you're thinking, here we go. This is it. This is what Liverpool do to you. You know what I mean? They build you up and next of all, here comes the shitstorm.
Yeah.
Delusions of grandeur and here we go. We're back. We're going to get Champions League and next of all, it's fucking Swansea going to fuck a spanner in the works. But what a turnaround second half.
Yeah. Damo, the last 10 minutes of the first half, you could see signs that we were getting a foothold back on the game to an extent. You know, I don't think we didn't create anything clear cut, but we stemmed the flow from them, I think. Or I felt that way anyway. Maybe you didn't.
Probably not. I didn't see where there was a goal going to come from us at all unless we drastically changed how we played. I think we'd done that at half-time. I said we didn't go through with Henderson as much. Anton that was playing from the back, they kind of bypassed them as a midfield and they went into the other three, either Coutinho or Firmino or Mane. a lot quicker, which stretched the game.
Is the second half?
Second half,
sorry, yeah.
First half, the whole first half, I thought we just created nothing. I think they were fantastic in what they done to us. I've watched them playing against City twice, and they done the same on City and made life very awkward on them in two games they played them. But there was definitely, when we came to the second half, I think only then we could see us coming into it more. Yeah. First half, there was just nothing to kind of look at and say. Or couldn't even see where there was a goal coming from at that stage.
Yeah, like, I know what you're saying by that. I said it to somebody on Twitter, Phil, during the game, that I felt this wasn't Swansea's natural way of playing. And that they might be blown out of their arse after about 60 minutes.
Well, in that respect, though, we're sort of saying that's down to fitness levels. Like,
yeah,
we expect the Liverpool to sort of blow it out their arse then after, because they're playing a high-pressing game.
No. My point is Liverpool are conditioned to play that high-pressing game.
That's what I mean. So Liverpool are much fitter than basically.
I would think so. I would think so for that type of game. I'm not saying they're an unfit side, Swansea, but if you play a certain... If you have a certain approach and a certain style of play, and then you, during 1 week, decide to change that and approach a specific game differently, Phil, which I think Swansea did with us, they decided to come and press us higher and put a counter press, as people love saying.
I've seen people putting up on Twitter, it was because Klopp was on Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Like,
all the tactics, like, they knew what to do.
Like a Premier League manager couldn't figure out maybe what to do without Klopp telling them on a Monday night.
What's my name?
Philip.
Just wondering. Because every time he says, "Is that right, Phil?" you've jumped in. So, Ray, do you want my fucking name, do you? Do you want my fucking name? Do you want my name?
I don't want that.
Do you want my fucking name, do you?
I don't want that to do with you.
Is that right, Phil? Yeah, when I was watching Monday Night Football. Fuck off, Ray. So I am called Julio now.
So Julio.
Yes.
Yeah. That. In that sense, I think there was a good chance they were going to run out of legs. And they did, ultimately. You know?
The thing was, right, we don't know really, in terms of conditioning wise, whether that is what happened.
Of course not. I'm just guessing.
It looks like it.
Or it was my opinion.
It does look like it. It looks like that they put it so much effort into trying to press us and keep us in our own half, that when they started to, their energy levels still did start to dip, we started to find the space to operate in.
Yeah.
So there's also the bit that there was slight change in tactics in terms of how we were starting to set up in the second half. We were starting to get somebody in around with Henderson so that he always had an out ball. Mm. Whereas in the first half, Milan and Wijnaldum
were a little bit too far forward.
Yeah, so there was a much bigger gap. There was a bigger gap for Henderson to try to get the balls away. So
he had angles.
Yeah, he had
in the second half. He had angles to play.
Exactly, and Milner started coming in and started supporting him as well to give him an angle from the fullback all the time. He wasn't as trying to be as far advanced up the pitch as he was in the first half. And those little things can suddenly change like the tempo in a game. Mm-hmm. Because I was saying to you first half, I said, I want to see Chan on with Henderson. Yeah. I take Wijnaldum off because he was completely invisible in that first half.
Yeah.
And I'll bring Chan on and leave and let Lallana and let Henderson just go. Because they're going to expect him to sit and dictate. Let him go, and that'll start pulling their midfield all over the place. Like, and I think, again, it's fair to look at this and say, well, that doesn't look right. Klopp gets it right, though.
Yeah.
Klopp gets it right. He sticks to his guns, makes his own small tactical changes, and it turns around and he gets the win over. And, you know, you can only sit there and see the game and see what goes out. But that first half was as bad a first half as I can remember. And the second half was brilliant.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The biggest bit of progression was last year, that first half would have carried into the second half. We would have gone 2-0 down. And then when that team stopped playing, we would have then got into the game and would have been saying at the end of the game, oh, jeez, you know, we might have got one back and like, oh, there's progress there in the hold up. But there's actual real progress there. We were able to get ourselves together, get in at half time, make sure we weren't any more than one goal behind at half time, get a foothold in the game, and then push on and win the match. And it always, after we scored that first goal, it always looked like we were going to score again. It was just a matter of could we keep them out at the back.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was great to see what Klopp came out and said, you know, that ultimately, in his mind, it's not okay to feel sorry for yourself and say we're just having a bad week. You get out there and you change it second half and it's not accepted by him that we're just having an off day. Mm. There are no off days. Yeah. You, at any point in a match, have the ability to change the outcome of that match.
I thought Lovren and Matip had a relatively poor 60 minutes or so.
They did.
And I'm including the first half and also the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But I do think that boils down to how Swansea approached the game. On both of them, because they just want to get it and release it. But because Swansea pressed us in the areas in the middle of the park, they had no out ball. So all of a sudden then they're getting squeezed by a centre forward. and they're just getting rid of it then, but for the sake of it.
Your point around Llorente being lucky that Llorente didn't start, because it was possibly a bigger threat, because I think we were very lucky, because we know now that coming up against the next few teams, long ball merchants like United and West Brom and whoever else we're playing, I can't remember.
Southampton, I think we have coming up as well.
Maybe not so much Southampton, but the long ball merchants like West Brom and United, right? They are going to just try and bombard us, right? And we've had good practice now. Klopp knows what he needs to work on in terms of the training ground.
Yeah.
I know on Periscope we mentioned Karius, but again, people here are jumping to conclusions after one game, but if there was one thing that he had to work on, one thing that Jeremy Dow told us in the summertime, was that he'd have to work on his crossing and coming and being used to that type of game in England, because it isn't the same type of crossing he's dealt with in the Bundesliga, and that's where he was going to have to pick
up. He did say that.
And it almost seemed, now you're the goalkeeping person, but it almost seemed like he was more so than dropping the ball, but worried of impact. You know what I mean? Didn't want to get clattered. That's the feeling I got off him, that he didn't want to go out.
I was looking at him saying he's not afraid to come, because I've seen him in training, like in pre-season, and he was coming for everything. And sure, how he ended up breaking his hand was because he came for something and punched Lovren and the ball at the same time.
Yeah.
I think there's a level of, it's all right in pre-season, you're coming for everything, and if you make a mistake, it doesn't make a difference, right?
There is that coming and not getting it.
The pressure was, the first game he played, he wasn't under pressure, because no matter what, he was playing that game. That's his first one as he was tied down as Liverpool's number one.
Yeah.
Right?
Because he plays the whole match, and that's his debut.
And it's a big thing. The second match is always the toughest one to follow up, because you don't want to make a mistake, because that's where it's going to be unforgivable. And you can see already our Gympie fans are fucking going, let's get Mignolet back in, he's shy.
Yeah, but that's bollocks. But at the same time, I think you should be allowed to say, I wasn't that impressed with him. Do you know what I mean? And that's not,
of course you can.
But I'm not.
But at the same time, I
equated
it to, we allow that sort of thing here, right?
But right, I equated it to when Reina started playing for Liverpool at first, and his first 10 games, I remember Benitez coming out after his first 10 games saying he has 10 games now to turn this thing around, or I'm going to have to consider the goalkeeping position.
Yeah,
because he wasn't like that. He was trying to get the grips with the English game, the way the amount of crosses that come in, when to comfort, when to stay, when to punch, and Reina was able to sort it out. The mark of a good goalkeeper is he figures out. De Gea at United.
Yeah.
Do you remember the four season the guy was there?
Yeah.
Oh, he's hopeless across, his flaps for everything, doesn't know when to come, doesn't know when to stay.
He was
poor.
That was a stick. He was bashing United fans with over and over. Yeah. He was that bad. Like, it wasn't.
But there's enough there to suggest that if once he has the backing and the support of the manager, and he keeps progressing and trying, and he gets more and more used to it, he has the ability to improve his game. And we do know that his game is better than Mignolet's, but he does need a period of adaptation. The thing about it is how, at what point does it become a mental thing if the fans start getting on his back, which is just ludicrous. But we do have a complete nutshell bag of fans who will jump all over,
or a section of
Twitter brigade, rather than people that go to the game.
But you would hope.
You see him when he tweeted out after the game, great 3 points or whatever, and you look at the replies that he's getting back. Learn how to deal with crosses. Fuck,
I only said it once, Phil, for fuck's sake.
It's not my fault to go 22,000 retweets.
I only said it once, and I was straight back onto Lucas.
I was content with a couple of friends one the weekend. Like, I don't know what Karius was like in Germany. I've heard the story that he's not good on crosses. Okay, if he's not, he has to develop that side of his game. But could this be a coaching issue again? Like, this thing has crept up numerous times. Question of Achterberg's coaching. Like, every keeper we've had for the last how many years has regressed. You know, I'd hate to think that we've just signed a quality keeper and he's going to start regressing.
But if that was the case, then, like, Achterberg wasn't there when Reina signed for the club and he was brutal on crosses. When Grobbelaar signed for the club, he was brutal on crosses. David James is brutal. We just don't like goalkeepers who go across. So we just need to accept that's the Liverpool way.
We also have to realise there's a lot of keepers aren't good on crosses these days.
And maybe this was just won by a game.
Exactly.
But that's the other thing.
I'm just slagging him off because I wasn't impressed.
Because you just wanted to slag him off?
No, but that's just because you wanted to slag him. He's going to be shit at crosses. I thought he had a bit of a poor game there the weekend, and I'm hoping that was just
the only thing. But you know what the big difference is, right? Where when Mignolet was shite, he always cost us points.
Mm.
We won that match.
Yeah.
There's a thing that people need to realise as well. Some goalkeepers are quite lucky. So even when they're playing crap, they still win matches.
Yeah.
And also, no matter what you say, when the ball goes back to him at his feet, you're not
he's
panicking.
Calm as you like.
You're not panicking. You're not thinking to yourself, Jesus, his next touch could be a tackle, or it could be under his foot, or anything like that. Like, do you know what I mean?
He had one where he got it into feet, and he punted it straight to a Swansea player in the first half, I think it was. But other than that, his kicking was spot on. Listen, it's a bit of perspective needed, like any new player. The fella's played 2 Premier League games. Yeah, he had a couple of shaky moments in the match, but for me, he's absolutely fine. He'll be fine, and a bit of support
there
is not
all a question.
Needed.
There is not a question. He should even be dropped, considered to be dropped for the Man United game, as some people are saying. Put Mignolet back in for the United game.
No, it's ridiculous. And Klopp's not going to do it. What would that do to a keeper that you've just signed? Exactly. You know, had he cost us a couple of goals, fair enough, the conversation might be different, but he didn't. And, you know, it is what it is. So,
on top of that, he's too good looking to drop.
Plus, you have to remember, and this will sort of give us a segue into the talking about the back four on the day. He has 2 fellas in front of him that haven't played a lot of games together either. You know, Matip and Lovren have played, 3-4 games together, maximum. And even at that, like, Lovren's got a knock at the moment. I wouldn't be that upset to see Clavin and Matip play against Man United. Because for me, when Hull tried to play a game up to the big man up front or to their solitary striker, I thought Clavin was really, really impressive in how physical he was.
He'd learned from the against Burnley. He had a mare.
Yeah, but he got in and he got in and he fucking... He was first to everything in that whole match, and you would fancy him again if he has to come in for Lovren. Mm. We're not in a situation whereby you're going, oh Jesus Christ, who do we bring in here? It wouldn't actually bother me. Klein had a decent game again. He was man of the match. Actually, he didn't just have a decent game. He added a huge amount going forward to his normal reliable position or performance, should I say. And Milner again at left back, he scores as coolly like a penalty, and I think I think the back four had an okay game. They were, as we said, you know, you look at Lovren,
I thought Klein was a fault for the first goal.
Well, he was a fault for the first goal.
And Klein and Firmino, for me, are the two that are fault for the first goal. Because whatever about Klein backs off, doesn't attack the ball that's coming in, right, and gets caught underneath it. But Firmino is looking and can go and attack that, really attack the zone. I know they're all going on about zone remark. I have no issue with zone remark, and it's ridiculous. It's like, oh, well, at least if a goal goes in, man to man, I know who to blame. Yeah. Well, the ball has gone in.
It's not about who to blame.
If zone remark was right, like, how the fucker scored from corners years ago when there was no such thing as
No one ever says.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, people score goals from corners regardless. Man marking, someone's at fault for a goal.
If you're at fault, you're at fault.
But people love blaming the system.
The biggest issue, Firmino can see that ball coming across and he can go on a beeline to go and attack it. Instead, he steps off and sort of doesn't really go and attack. And in a zonal defence, if that's his zone, he has to go and murder that ball. You don't care about the man at all. You're going to murder the ball in the zone. If he does that, he puts the header off and the goal doesn't happen.
You man mark in the box and they score. It's still a fucking goal against you.
You never hear people...
People just don't like not being out the finger at someone like and say it's that cunt's fault, you know?
Yeah, but you never hear people saying that man marking is shite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's never you. That's never an excuse. People say zone marking is terrible.
Lovren got blamed then.
Yeah,
space
never scored a goal. Yeah. Fuck
space
off.
Made one though.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Or hidden assists.
Diagonals.
Okay. Well, I've just got to say one thing about corners, and I noticed this crazy. Like, what has ever happened to putting defenders on the post? I watched Leicester concede 3 fucking corner kicks against United. All 3 could have been stopped with someone on the post. Nobody on the post at all. Like, we have Klein picking up someone at the back stick. Klein's probably one of our smallest defenders. I don't know. I will be. Still kind of old skill where I'd say at least have 1 man on the post or 2 men on the post.
We never had 2 on the post now. We had 1 on the post and 1 in the hole.
Who did?
Me and you.
But that's because I was so good in the airfield. You didn't need 1 on the post.
You were man marking. He used to send you up the other end of the pitch.
Into my head, you couldn't get the hook on the box.
His head took up the 6-yard box. You had to get a long range Benny McCarthy headed to score against him.
Bill never could see it. My head just filled the whole goal.
Get that move for the corner.
But as you said, Klein probably is at fault for that goal. But I don't think. I think, you know, one of the big problems we have, and it's something that annoys me personally, is that one mistake from a player determines people's view of their whole 90 minutes. You know what I mean? So yeah, Klein is at fault, but if you assess his other 89 minutes or other 93 minutes, whatever we actually played, he had a very good game. I'm not talking about Milner here. But
wasn't Milner there? That was the left back harder than a bitch.
He's just saying like Klein's at fault there. Okay, he's got beaten in a 50-50 header. Like, you know,
nobody
has reacted. Nobody's reacted.
What I'm saying. For me, Klein should do better on the header, right? But Firmino was the one that should have won the ball. Yeah. And then Lovren falls over.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Matt the point is steps out without doing that either. He doesn't see what's going on behind him. And I don't know who's playing.
But you know what, right? You're always going to concede. Like, it's just because we tended to concede lots of goals recently from corners and stuff like that. So it's just.
I have to say, it's really annoying me though. There's already a media thing about it. You know, it was like
zone remarking.
Yeah, no, but and they've already Liverpool conceding that
zone remarking.
Oh yeah, no, it's seen. It's our weakness. Yeah, the media have it as our weakness.
But the best thing is, Klopp is as stubborn as Benitez. Benitez used to just fucking ignore all that shit until he lost the plot in his last season.
Klopp's not going to change his philosophy on how the game should be played because some journalists decide to say X, Y, Z about him.
Oh, so right. He's not Roy Hodgson.
You just know Mourinho's going to play seven wingers, don't you?
Yeah. Just whip it in.
Not so much Klopp changing things, but you know, if it's constantly on, you hope that the player's mindset doesn't change. They read papers and everything. If it's on all the time, you don't want that sort of, not a fear, but an anticipation of bollocks, here's a set piece again. And
we had that line. That myth existed last season. And we started, I don't think we conceded a goal from a set piece for about 4 months. Every time a set piece happened, Liverpool are weak in set pieces.
Yeah. So it's an easy commentary.
It's taking something that's gone on for 40 years.
Yeah. And like that, Klopp has a strength of character that isn't going to see him bend on that. Middle of the park. I suppose it was changed up very early on because we had Lallana with the injury and Coutinho, as many people and some of us in here have said, we wanted to see maybe Coutinho playing in that position. Not that Lallana's probably been our standout performer this season, but it's just to see, could Coutinho do that job if for any reason Lallana had an injury or had a dip in form, whatever it might be. I think he's proven, as we saw in 13-14, he can do that job. Mm. He came in there and played
more
very,
than capable.
Yeah, he came in and played very, very well and probably has a little bit more responsibility when in that position and therefore doesn't try to take people on as much.
I think he's better there.
He lost the ball less in that position because he wasn't trying that extra little.
He's not trying to force it. He's not trying to force it when
he
he's in
the
there.
Ball back quite a bit then.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yet again, I suppose him and Lallana probably fall into the category whereby both of them could do a playing there in the same match, if you know what I mean.
In the Lallana position?
Yeah.
And we put Firmino into the Coutinho position.
Lallino, as I like to call the Lallino position.
You were saying he reminds you of Juninho.
He does, yeah. Racist. Yeah, I am. Yeah. Aren't all Brazilians the same?
not if you're a Juninho free kick cheat.
Well, he is the cheat mode Juninho. but no, he does. I was just watching. Something on Twitter or something online there, and I was just watching the way Juninho used to move his body and his low center of gravity. And
did you start doing a helicopter afterwards?
Yeah. But I watched the way he moved his body and his low centre of gravity and the way he could get by opposition.
By wiggling his bum?
No, it was just the way he played. And Coutinho reminds me. He reminds me a lot of Coutinho. Okay. You know?
Did you watch Coutinho now for his movement as well?
I have. I've watched Coutinho's movement quite a lot. Yeah. With interest.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice. Anyway, this has turned into weird homoeroticism. So we had Henderson, Wijnaldum. I was worried. I don't know what you felt, Ray. And it seems like I'm speaking a lot tonight, so I'm going to try and erase that if we can. It actually doesn't the last few weeks, but I felt Wijnaldum was nearly back to. He regressed in this game.
Yeah,
for me. Cheers, Ray. Sorry, Julio. What
was? Getting ready. As soon as you said Ray, I could see him.
So, Julio, give us your thoughts on
that. Yes, I think you've lived very well.
Julio has a weird accent.
I don't know about Wijnaldum.
Yeah,
I'm not on the Wijnaldum train.
No, me neither. I admitted that he'd had better games the last couple of games, which he did. That was
for start. I when he's on the pitch, he just doesn't look like a footballer to me for a start, right?
I don't know about him not looking like a footballer, but I don't think he suits that position. He still doesn't look like somebody that wants to really get in and mix it.
I think it's what he offers, and a lot of people miss this. He tends to make that deep run.
Is it because we're not as intelligent as you, then?
Probably what it is. Yeah. That's why I haven't been on so long. Because I'm sick of
educators, Damo.
He makes that deep run.
Making the hidden assist.
No, he makes the deep run. And we don't break the lines. And that's why we could never break teams down. And we always struggle to break teams that have
we were
low
too
block.
Rigid.
Have the low block. Teams that come and park the fucking bus, we could never break them down because we're too fucking worried about going sideways and keeping possession of the ball. If you notice, he makes so many off the ball runs that are deep that he drags players out of position. Yeah. And like, it's a thankless job because a lot of people don't see it. But he makes them runs and he creates space for others.
Yeah.
That's allowing the freedom for Lallana and
well, they're
Mane.
Well,
I'm glad you pointed it out. That's
you know. Yeah. Like, that's what he offers, Steph. You know? But if he's, is he going to mix
that
it?
Enough?
No.
Is that enough, though, Damo? That's the question. And I appreciate what you're saying. From an offensive point of view, he does make those deep runs and he does, as you say, pull players out of position. But is that enough when you're in a game like the match against Swansea on Saturday? That wasn't needed in the first half. Somebody else in alongside Henderson to give that outlet to the centre halves and to actually mix it a little bit more and not but let them have the stronghold.
It's kind of easy saying that in hindsight now because we've seen what Swansea have done to us. They've pressed us. But normally you would have went and played against Swansea and you would have fucking set back where you would have needed them type of runs. And we've kind of reacted to it at half time.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree with you. And what I'm saying is it Wijnaldum's game intelligence to say, okay, that's not needed in this game right now. What's actually needed, or whoever's game intelligence to say, actually, we need you to do a different job right now.
I would actually say it's not even game intelligence. I just don't think he has that in his locker to change it.
Mm. Now, that's not a worry.
It's not a worry, but that's why you've got other players in the team.
Well, I don't think he's a midfielder. I'll go back to it. Look, if you're in,
you mean like a box to box central midfielder? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's my biggest worry about him. I know what you're saying. Like he was seen as an attacking midfielder or a forward or whatever it is, yeah, right? Well, and I can understand when you see him up the top end of the pitch like that. Great, right?
Yeah.
But when Henderson is getting pressed by two lads or whatever, and he's not being able to get in and give an out ball or give an option there in the centre midfield where you need him as well, because he needs to do both in the position that he's playing in. That's where I find he's falling.
But like all players have their own quirks that they can do and they can't do. You know, and if they can't do a certain role, that's up to the manager then to take him out and put someone in that can do.
So does that make him a prime candidate for the Lallana role as well?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what you do in the Lallana role.
Like, you know what I mean? If you've Chan and Henderson and then Wijnaldum in front of them, he is given enough protection to those two and being
part
of that three.
I think that will be a very interesting midfield against United. Because especially if Lallana isn't fit to play, let's say, right?
Yeah.
Now, he's got a couple of weeks to get fit, and if he is, then Lallana starts for me because he's been playing so well. Yeah. But if he's not fit, I would be interested to see that Chan Henderson and Wijnaldum midfield and have him
at the front of that three, to
go and do whatever he wants and let the other two then, instead of one sitting off, you've got two who can alternate between sitting off. So it just doesn't allow the United midfield to get up, push up and start to figure out who's doing what.
My worry with that, and I don't know if you agree, Ray, is the job that Coutinho just did at the weekend and Lallana has done before has been such a yard dog, as well as being on the ball and constructive and really sort of a great passing game. They've been yard dogs in terms of getting back, winning the ball, getting themselves around the pitch. That's the bit that I don't see Wijnaldum having in his game. I don't see that in his locker at all, at any point, still, in any position he's played.
Damo's pointing stuff out to me there, and Wijnaldum, that I don't know. I still don't know what he is yet. I'm still not able to sort of point a finger of blame and say he was shit, he was thing. By him not doing that, and me not noticing him doing that, is my biggest criticism of him, if you know what I mean.
But actually, he can be invisible.
Without freaking saying the fucking agent when yelling, how did he do that? Or you should have done this. I haven't blamed him on that, but I still don't know what he's bringing to the table.
Admittedly, sometimes what you need to do, and we don't have time to do it when everybody has a life as well, sometimes you need to go back and look at a game again. When you know the result,
I've seen loads complimenting on him, so maybe I'm just looking at it the wrong way. There's Damo picking out stuff that I haven't noticed about. We're just talking about me personally.
If you went back and looked at a half of football and just concentrated on him and what he's doing, you might see benefits to his game that maybe you didn't pick up in a lot. Because a live match is different. There's the emotion of it, and you're on edge as to what's going to happen.
Really, United game, I don't know who they're playing in midfield. Is like, you know,
they keep on switching it around. It's been Fellaini, Carrick, Herrera.
He paid 90 million for as well.
Pogba, Schneiderlin hasn't really got a look in, has he, in the last few games? But like it was Herrera and Pogba.
I'd like Chan in for like. You know, if Fellaini
stop the dab,
with fuck Pogba, he's being septic. Fuck him.
He's gonna fucking torn up now, aren't you?
Stevie G, that's all he is, you know. He's gonna show up now, you think? Because some prick on the left, FC Day Tripper's pod said,
you can imagine Mourinho walks in the day before the match, but there's your team talk right there. Ray Brady thinks you're a cunt.
Mourinho was already texting fucking Jose now.
I didn't say that.
Jose will. He'll load that midfield though.
You have to expect it.
He's going
to
do it.
He's happy to come away from Anfield with a point.
And then I would agree with you what you're saying. I wouldn't fancy Wijnaldum in that midfield then.
Yeah.
Like if they load it and they go for a scrap, I don't fancy him in that.
Yeah. I would fancy Lallana over Wijnaldum in a scrap. In a scrappy game, all the because he's snidey. We've said it a few times. That Lallana's a snidey little bastard, and you need that niggle in those games.
That's why Ivanovic stood on him twice.
Mm. But you know what he does? He gets in.
Doesn't give you a minute either. Can run all day.
Yeah,
you
know? And he's been playing very well.
Yeah,
he's been exceptional.
Us slagging cunts, we've you know
we haven't had
probably
have
set about. Yeah, Jesus, I've eaten humble pie left, right, and
happy to. Unhappy to absolutely. And we had our obviously the obviously early on changes were made. Sturridge came on, so we had Mane, Firmino, and Sturridge as the front three. Phil, what did you pick up on Sturridge's game?
Still can't sprint.
Didn't need to,
but he didn't score.
I thought he had a good game.
I don't.
I mean, a good second half.
A good second half.
Yeah,
I thought it was much better.
No one had a good first half. No one had a good first half. So
individuals in the
Again, we talked about Sturridge before. I think it's going to be interesting to see how he is now going to progress in this team in terms of is he going to be a goal scorer? Because everyone's assuming Sturridge is going to score 20 goals a season for you.
Mm. He's gone seven games without a goal now.
I don't see him scoring 20 goals this season.
Had he got many KQ chances?
No.
CCC?
Huh? Triple C. CQ.
He's definitely below the XG for this season.
I don't think he did have many clear-cut chances, to be honest with you, right?
I still fancy him. That's why I didn't want to say it before, so about that one where you still fancy him if he does.
You put
him ahead of a few others in the team over there.
I think the balls across the box in the second half weren't actually the best, even though there was times when we could have done a lot better with the quality of ball. Ball.
That's what I wanted to say. That very last, the final ball there. Yeah.
Hopefully it'll come.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, if that clicks, Jesus Christ, we're in business.
But do you think, for me anyway, the more the season's going, as soon as Coutinho disappears out of that top three in terms of dropping back in to support the midfield, right? Firmino becomes a much more, much bigger influence on the game. And I don't think Firmino and Coutinho operate well at all in that as part of that front three. I really don't. I just don't.
When in together, you mean?
Yeah.
You mean the?
One or the other. In the top three.
If you want to play the two of them in the three,
we lose something because you're not going to lose Mane because of what he brings, right? Yeah. And he comes from the right an awful lot to go central or he goes wide, right? Coutinho and Firmino both like to start left and come in.
Yeah.
It's Firmino's natural thing is to drift in from the left, a bit like Suarez used to do, right?
Yeah.
And Coutinho wants to do that and come in centrally. I just think they don't gel well. Despite them being mates and everything like that, I don't think they gel well on the pitch. And I think we looked a lot better when Sturridge had come on and Firmino was more naturally pushed out to occupy the space where Coutinho would normally have been.
Mm. Yeah.
And we got more of him, sure. He got the first goal and then he gets the penalty for the second goal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, Firmino's had a good game. There's no question.
Half.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so let's just start the game at 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But lads, what other year have we
had those options?
These options,
yeah,
fucking ridiculously. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's a great debate. It's great to be able to say this
rather than just saying he's shit and we've no one else to go in there.
Yeah, we've been normally sitting there saying, okay, David Thompson's coming in this week, lads, because Coutinho's out. That's
Tomo's out. Tomo's a friend of ours.
Why are you knocking Tomo?
Because I am, right?
Why?
Because I am.
But there's no need for it. It's a low blow. Not a low block. It's a low blow.
I'm not coming on again for 9 months.
You weren't anyway.
You weren't even meant to come in tonight. You got lost.
Just saw him driving by with three Paddy Power dockets fucking them out the window. Fucking Curra. So we saw the difference. We have a little bit of a break now between this and the international break is shite, isn't it?
I can't believe it's another international break.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know who's playing and I don't care.
Yeah,
no, it is terrible. Like, there's no need for it to be a month ago. Why not just have 2 weeks now?
Yeah,
or 2 weeks then.
And get three or four games.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer December 1st to December 31st should be a 4-week international window. And June the 1st to June the 30th should be a 4-week international window. Yeah. And that's it. There's no other international windows through the season.
People will hate, you could do January, but the thing is, Christmas is so football driven in the UK, it'll never work. But I know what you're saying, in terms of having a block of just games, there you go. You get all your team either fit or unfit in that time. You get to work with them for a month. Everybody's on the same page, play all your games and then move on and do it again.
Go back to the standard of international football, if you ask me. If players were
go back to the old fucking days when you went out on a Saturday, played on a Wednesday and come back and played the following Saturday. That's what you say.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah. There we go.
There we are. Fixing FIFA's problems. Yeah. Tweet them there. Tell them we have it nailed. We'll periscope them the solution.
FIFA told us the other day that they solved racism. Do you remember?
Well, clearly
they
ended
to kick racism out of football.
Point.
And then the very next day, fixed. Someone threw bananas onto the pitch in Russia.
Yeah. But now it's fixed.
Nailed. No. That's not racism. Yeah. That was a pre-game snack.
Like basically, the World Cup's in Russia, is it?
Yeah.
Fuck that. Right, lads, we're done. Well done. Great job.
I literally would not go there for free.
No.
Like, it's nothing to do with Russia, but I would not be. No. I'd actually like to.
I don't think you're going to offend the listenership here.
No. But I would like to go to.
I wouldn't mess around with Russia. I would love to go to Russia. Yeah. And I think they're all sound lads. Just in case.
No, I would like to go to Russia, but not for football.
Putin.
The football side. The football side of Ukraine and Russia is just different ball game. You know, I wouldn't want to be near it. Not if there was a fucking Champions League final and we were in it.
They love us.
Yeah.
Everyone loves us.
We sing lullabies.
Yeah.
We're all the lucky leprechauns.
Yeah. 42 Irish lads are being bashed on the train today.
Filled with a couple of GoPros. He actually went over to batter people with a GoPro strapped to him. That's how much they love killing people.
No. No. But racism is solved according to FIFA. Yeah. So that's grand.
Well done, FIFA.
Let's hope they move on. They said they're moving on to Syria next.
Yeah. So they're heading in.
Job done. Bombs all over the shop going off behind them. Yeah. Job done. Well done, lads.
No more war there. Yeah. But someone just blew that building up. Yeah. No more war, I said.
That's not a war. That was a gas explosion. With the planes.
Yep. Someone left the immersion on. Right, so we've United next.
Should we have to talk about that next week?
Do we?
Hello, this is Ronnie Whelan here, and you're listening to Tripper Chats. Unbelievable stuff.
Right. Okay, I'm going to bring the first one to Damo, and I'm going to ask you, where are we now? Sorry about this periscope, we're just trying to get our shit together. Here's Damo. He says, with Europe, this is from Sam Elliott, and he says, with Europe losing the Ryder Cup and Paul Tompkins reads an article, how close is Andy Young to performing a mass genocide? Poor old Andy, he went on a bit of a Twitter rant.
I didn't see it because
he was fairly involved in that. He's become a full golf wanker now.
Yeah,
and
changed his profile to the golfing picture.
I bet you if he hasn't, he'll have like.
Yeah, no, he did.
He already did it.
Yeah, but he already has. He's always been a golfing picture.
No, he hasn't. Just me, Andy, one for
he's always been a golfing picture.
That's because he's a PGA pro. So
yeah.
He hasn't always been a golf wanker. He's always been a wanker to play golf. Now he's a golf wanker. So there's
a
difference.
He's hoping to make the next Ryder Cup.
So Phil, how close are you to genocide?
Am I to genocide?
No, you're always close to genocide, in fairness.
I just need the weapons.
How close is Andy? He seemed to get into that one with Paul Tompkins and then bailed on it.
I didn't.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Bailed on.
I'm no co player playing here soon, but anyway,
Don't ask.
I don't know what to check on.
Here, fuck this. What's the best cheese for a toasted sandwich?
Oh!
Phil's passionate about this.
I actually like Parmesan cheese.
This is from Jeremy Wimberg. You like Parmesan cheese on a toasted cheese sandwich?
It takes slightly longer to melt.
Oh, right. It has to be a good cheddar.
Okay.
Good cheddar. But I've come across them ones with the chili and the cheddar. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Diablo.
Yes.
The Diablo.
Yes. Super Queen used to do an oak smoked cheddar.
Yes. Yeah.
You want something that, do you know what I find with some of the cheddars is they melt and they just vanish. So you know you put it in
oil.
Yeah, and you take it out and you think, oh, it's lovely. You can see it dripping out of the side and holding it. Think yourself, lovely melted cheese. Cut open a sandwich, gone. Just like both, and it's like just two slices of bread. And I was like, where's the cheese gone?
I don't really like.
Yet the cheese that you thought is gone then suddenly appears on your chin.
With the lip on
the box.
And then you look for the cheese and it's gone again.
That noise you haven't made since you were 3 years.
It hits you on the outside of the throat as it swings down from your neck.
That's known as pizza born as well.
Okay, Tom McMahon asks, would you rather have a missing finger or an extra finger?
Depends what you're doing.
You can never have enough fingers or one finger.
To a missing finger, unless someone can point me in the right direction.
Well, can't with finger.
He went that away. Yeah. Well, see, with a missing finger, you'd actually be able to get gloves handy enough. With an extra finger.
I'm here.
But with an extra finger, it'd be a bastard to get them. So
extra finger. If you have an extra finger,
mittens.
Phil's a mittens man.
The boxing glove on.
Red mistake.
You don't want the trend of mittens that goes up, so you don't lose them.
That's true, your jacket.
I didn't lose me mittens.
I'm glad I didn't bring mine now.
I didn't look a right prick.
I didn't wear them. Let's go.
As he tries to hide them down the back of his jacket.
I'm your handkerchief.
With your scarf, you know the little bit that you put onto the hanger?
Yeah.
You can thread the thread through there as well, so you can keep your scarf and your mittens all in one go.
That's right.
Never lose them.
Okay, next question is from Red Mysterio, and he asks, in a fight to the death between all major footballing podcasts, who ends up victorious?
All major footballing podcasts.
Now, we can narrow it down to LFC-related ones, because obviously there's too many to get into with all of them. So, Liverpool-related podcasts, who comes out victorious?
Well, like, we have some proper psychos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you. And Ray. in his full-on Nazi jacket tonight. The neo-Nazi jacket he's wearing. And let's be honest, look at the size of Damo's head. If he hits anybody, they're low.
Everyone gets low.
So, are we backing ourselves?
Well, I'll be backing us.
Are we backing ourselves? Yeah. Well, yeah, us. Yeah. Okay, it's us.
If you go into one thinking you're going to lose, you're bollocks anyway. So,
take out
a few cunts on the way.
Well, Jay Holm going around wedgieing people.
Yeah, we sent him in windmilling.
Yeah.
And like Dave Thomas.
Wait, windmill. Oh, and
not helicopter.
No, I helicopter. He does the windmill. I can win with the helicopter. He goes in with the windmill.
Well, let's be clear about this LFC only, because them West Ham fellas are mad bastards.
But we've also got the undead in our side. We can bring Trev in at times. You know, like Lord of the Rings, the army, the dead. Just summon Trev.
Trev come in and start cleaning house.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Trev.
We see Trev all the time.
There he is.
Kieran Palmer asks, Milner match winner. I can only imagine everybody in the bunker is happy about it. Now let's switch over to our boy Phil here. Thoughts on it, Phil? Come on, you have to be at the point whereby you're accepting he's playing well in his position at the moment. You have to be.
From an
objective point of view, I can appreciate that you can continue to hate him. That's fine. That's your own decision.
I think he's doing very well.
I really, really like him.
I think he's a great option at left back. I wouldn't drop him ever.
But you have to be honest. He is playing.
How could you fault him? You can't. No matter what slagging you get.
When you say how could you fault him, that's not to say he's not without mistakes in matches, but as is every single player. He makes mistakes. He made mistakes in the game, you know, against Hull. He made them against Swansea. He'll continue to make them, as will every other player on the pitch.
You want to hear what I called him when he fucking pulled that ball back that time instead of shooting.
I know. But that's not a mistake. That's not a mistake that's going to cost you in the moment. He chose.
He's much more than the grafter I thought he was.
Yes.
That's what I'm seeing at this point. left back compared to him anyway.
I'll tell you what, the one thing I've noticed out of him this year, and I am his biggest critic because I hate him. I hate him. I think he's stopped falling over as much as he did last year.
He has stopped falling over.
Yes, new boots, he said.
Yeah.
He said he's got them counterbalanced, so he has a massive weight in the heel of the boots. And it keeps him upright.
Just hanging out the back of his shorts.
Yeah, he's a 15 he's a 15 kilo bar just hanging off the back of
his shorts. Because
a rail on the new stand. Yeah.
Like one of those cameras that comes out. Remember the camera that comes out?
That's him.
He just has a rope. No, but in fairness, because he's learned how to keep his balance, he's been very effective for us.
Yeah. No, he has.
As much as I hate him and the whole lot, like, you have to turn around, even if you hate the player, and say the fella's doing well and he's performing well. And I will say one thing from at this moment in time, there's not a player in the world that I'd want standing over a penalty more than him.
He just looks
fucking
cool as you like, isn't he?
Now he's going to miss one against, you know.
When
I come back in here, I'm like, that fucker should never take a penalty again. He shouldn't even be near the ground. If we can't get him out.
It's set up, isn't it? Okay, next one. A favourite Liverpool away kit. That comes from Darren Dunbar. Ray?
The white Hitachi. Yeah, by a mile.
Demo?
Yeah, I like that one. Probably the yellow crown paints.
Yellow crown paints?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Phil?
I like, remember the one, the Bellamy Golf Club one?
Yeah. The white with the green.
Not the green white check. That was the 94. Oh,
yeah. No, it was the white with the green.
The half and half
That green one. That always brings back fond memories of that year.
Yeah, it was a good year.
Yeah, it was a good year. Bellamy playing golf in the works.
Good times. Yeah. Good time.
What did you think of the Spurs City game?
I didn't watch it.
Did you not?
No.
What did you think of the result?
I thought it was shocking.
That's Spurs. The same people, Spurs pressed the ballot to him and they didn't like it at all. No. He did not like it.
See, he didn't.
That's all down to Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah, of course.
He found it out.
Some of the shit Celtic can make and get at City like that then.
Brendan Rodgers, football genius.
He was listening to Klopp on the Monday night. Yeah. Taking notes.
Rodgers for England.
Yeah. Get on that, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute.
He'll keep Glenn Johnson in the squad.
Allardyce. Sam Allardyce. Thoughts?
Do you know what? That was the biggest letdown of an expose ever. At the end of the week, the biggest thing was that Harry Redknapp said something dodgy.
Yeah.
No shit, Sherlock. Like, you didn't need to do a whole expose, but like, the Allardyce thing is just, what an idiot.
Yeah.
Dream job. You're in it. It wasn't like that. This happened before he took over or whatever like that. He's in the job and he goes out and he's doing a mate a favour by saying how to be bent, basically.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
If ever there was something like you say, dream job, but he's the English, you have to be fucking as clean as a fucking whistle. And the money he's on, that just shows it was in building him.
Yeah.
For him
to
not have a restraint that he was in the England job, but this came so naturally to him to go meet someone and advise them how to X, Y, or Z. Like, do you know what I mean? As if anyone else wouldn't have a filter, say, Jesus, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm England manager now. No, I'd sit there happily, slag off the ex-England manager.
But did he really have a...
To be fair, if he wasn't a football manager, he'd be down selling fucking buckets of mackerel in Billingsgate or something. He'd be gone off mackerel and he'd be banging a new smell onto it. You know what I mean?
Wasn't the best bit...
All right, girls.
Morning, ladies.
The best bit was the point of wine.
Yeah, the point of Chardonnay.
The point of wine. I was like, this is immense.
Yeah, that nearly made up for everything else he did. Point the Chardonnay,
to me, it was like, do whatever you want.
Listen, it turns my stomach, though.
What, a point of wine?
I'd give it a bash.
The ring piece.
Imagine the heart pouring after a point of wine.
How much money do you fucking want? Like, seriously, why? He's had to get trillions for fucking being England manager, and he's still looking for a little fucking side there.
Because that's what it is.
Point of wine isn't cheap.
It's inbuilt. It's built into his...
Have you seen how much a glass of wine is when you go... 200 points of wine, you're going to be fucking smashed. You need 400 grand just for that drinks bill.
I'm just sitting down, it's your turn for a round. What are you having, Sam?
Point of wine.
I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah. I'm just in Aphrodite's anyway.
Big Sam.
Yeah. I don't go to Aphrodite's. Just go to the Pig and Wen for
Pen
and Wig.
Pig and Wen.
Pig and Wen.
That's
next door, pal.
That's the VIP lounge.
That's next door. The Pig and Wen is near the Pen and Wig.
But like, genuinely, could you imagine? You can see him sitting there with the wine list, bottle, glass. What's the point? What do you mean? What's the point? The beer's at the back. No.
So much. You got that on draft.
Yeah, Wetherspoons, though, they have like the wine and like the shooting going
with the tap on the table. It's actually inbuilt.
I'm only sitting at the sitting at the table with the tap for the wine.
He's some boy. Yeah. So who do we reckon is next up for
the England? Well, Southgate isn't
Pardew.
Pardew, look. Yeah.
He's another 6 monther, isn't he?
Like, exactly. He's just a typical prick. That you always hear. It's not England, though.
Who's the last good? Like, who's the last manager they hired that you thought?
Capello.
I thought he was going to do something and he didn't. No. Well, he was hounded out of it pretty much because he didn't play the.
I like Venables.
Yeah, he didn't speak English.
Yeah,
I like Venables.
Glenn Hoddle not in with a show either. I know.
Well, again, he hasn't come back.
He's been out of the game a long time.
And he hasn't yet been reincarnated as an England manager.
Especially drinking that wine and out of the game a lot.
Completely out of game. No wonder he's up dancing in that round of resort. Points of wine in a suit.
There's not many. Like, they've said you want to go down the route of having an English manager. And there's not many out there.
If they were truly... If they were really
that rules Rogers out anyway.
No, if they were really visionary, they'd probably bring in somebody like Eddie Howe or something like that and say, right, this is a long-term plan. Someone who would see the England job as being the pinnacle. Yeah. Of managing in England.
Like, the truth is, someone like Eddie Howe, he's going to get them to qualify for this anyway. Mm. You know what I mean by that? So if he was able to be brought in, because Roy Hodgson and whatever else, and you're right, it has been a short-term view from them. And if you go back and look at how France changed their culture in the 90s, or even, you know, Germany did it as well when they brought in...
Again, it's
they started
FA-led.
It with Klinsmann. Yes, it is. It's FA-led, and its approach over the next 8 to 10 years, not this next tournament that we have to qualify. England, 9 times out of 10, are going to qualify for the tournament anyway, given their seed, given the quality of players.
Sort of taking the players themselves off their high horse. So I think that's always been their issue.
I don't know. Look, are you telling me they're any worse than France?
They never look like a team.
Yeah, but
they always
how
look
often,
like 11 individuals.
How often
always
do France have. Not look like a team? Very often. And yet they get the finals. Oh. You know what I mean? So I don't think it is necessarily just down to the players. I think it's a structural issue that needs to be looked at. And Phil's right in the sense, or I think he's right in the sense that if you bring in somebody like Eddie Howe and say, right, we're not looking at Russia, we're looking at the next one. You know, we're looking at the Euros. So, yes, we want you to qualify for the World Cup. We want to go and have a decent showing. But regardless of what happens, we're now looking at 2020.
Right, but what I'm sort of saying is, would you not like a manager that comes in, and you know, when they're at the press brief and say, let's say before the Iceland game there, in the tournament, and to come out and say this isn't an easy, and not to shoot down all the over expectancy that England are, we are England type of shit, that they're going to walk through fucking this, that, and the other, and say, no,
that was Hodgson.
This is a fucking tough game. No, but don't, he was a negative cunt. There's a difference, you know what I mean? I just put them on a level pair. You aren't fucking top two or three in the world. Let people know where they are and pull the media in, pull the expectation back. And because I think the players are away with the fairies thinking they're fucking 1970s Brazil half the time.
It's definitely like nearly a 10-year plan, as you said. The Germans done it and the French done it. What they all done is they all developed it from the underage teams.
Yeah.
They were successful underage teams.
Yes.
That all came true, like with the likes of Houllier, and then the Germans done it as well. And they were all bred through into it. And they continue this kind of route the whole time. Yeah. England get generations of footballers. They get a wicked generation of 10 years and say, oh, they're fucking great players. And then they go off the boil for 10 years. There's no actual kind of key constant development coming out of a youth setup.
But
like, even the under age setup at the minute, like, when's the fucking last time they won it? You know?
If Joachim Löw was English, he'd have been sacked. Because they would have
at least
believed
in his own hair, so he'd sack him.
If that's not a reason to keep him in a job, I don't know what is. But he would. Would you not agree, Phil? If he was English, he'd have been given the chop by now, because they'd have believed he should have won it more than once in that time.
But see, that's the lunacy.
I know. So this is what I'm saying. Is it? I'm actually going back on myself and asking: is it destined for failure?
There's two things here, right? You've got a weak FA,
yeah,
who always tried to keep the media on side,
yeah.
Regardless, right?
Yeah.
A strong FA would have told the media to fuck off last week and kept Allardyce in the job if they believed that he was the right man. Severely reprehended Allardyce, told him that if we catch up into anything else, that's it. But we believe you're the man for the job. We put you there because we believe you're the man who can instill this English, you know, bulldog spirit back into our game and give us our identity back. Blah blah blah, all that type of stuff. But they don't. They have a press. They have an FA that more or less bows to the wishes of the press whenever it wants. The same way as they had a manager who was perfectly. Roy Hodgson was the perfect managerial representation of the English FA.
Yes, I know what you're saying. For a man to be the face of what that FA stands for, He was spot on.
He heralded in the press as being the whatever it was, the broadsheet manager in a tabloid time. Like, do you know what I mean? It's all this, and the FA being the original FA, the home of football, all this type of stuff. When in reality, they've given very little to the game.
Yeah.
Recently. Yeah. They haven't provided any innovation in real terms that's going on. They don't have a very good structure in England in terms of bringing through youth or having a sound development around the game. They don't have a strong hold on their own national game, on their own national leagues. And they can't, for their life, understand what type of philosophy the English should be. They don't want to adopt the philosophy which is the English philosophy, right? When instead they should embrace it and make it the way that they play, and that should be the way that the English team look to play. Because, you know, you can look at the Spanish team, you can look at the German team, you can look at the French team, but it's how their teams play.
Yeah, but if you notice, I've noticed, like, within the last year, like, philosophy's always come about in football. Like, we had the tiki-taka, yeah. We had all this. The actual old-style English fucking pressing, getting at teams, yeah, and being in people's faces, that's starting to come back more and more into, yeah, the game. You know, that's, and when should be England's time nearly.
When you've Guardiola talking about that, you know, the way he beats teams pressing them is to clip a ball over the top and then press teams in at the back end. That's Jack Charlton talking about putting the ball down the other end of the pitch and pressing the team high up there to win it back to get crosses in to score goals.
Slightly different, but I know what you're getting at.
More than likely is the first time
Guardiola
ever
they're pretty much the exact same type manager.
More or less the exact same.
And with that, this week's ball is a wrap.
We put him under pressure. We got a game to win.
Olé!
Great song.
It is a tune. I was watching a program the other day.
The Ryder Cup?
No, it was what's her name? Is it Moira Brennan from Clannad? She's lead singer Clannad, and she was talking to all the different old sort of Irish front men.
This isn't back
like
to your car story with someone flashing her.
No, none of them. No, we just, know. They were just talking to horse lips. You know what I mean? You forget, like.
Hang on a second.
I thought you said she wasn't flashing her. Oh, your horse lips.
I want to see what she was using for the drum pedals. All right, horse lips. Oh, good God.
With that, we're done. Okay, as always, thanks to Astor Park Tala for the use of the facilities here and the bunker. The place to be for any of your five-a-side needs. A big shout out to them, as always. Tonight we had Phil Casey, Ray Brady and Damo Flood, the enigma that he is, back in the bunker, and myself, Steve-O. Thanks a million. We'll talk to you next week. Okay. another one for Phil. Glenn Johnson in the England squad. Disgust. That comes in from Noli.
Disgust.
Well, you're disgusted.
Hang on.
Disgusted.
Is that real?
Yeah.
What?
Glenn Johnson is back in the England squad.
What?
Yeah.
He plays for Stoke, yeah?
Yeah. That's the team that's Stoke. Bottom of the league.
All right, yeah.
And where's the number
like, that
eight
got a point at Old Trafford. They're just going to make that point.
Who picked the team?
Gareth Southgate.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
As you were.
As you were.
Yeah, it's well, listen, I haven't seen a single bit of Stoke this season, so I can't comment.
Cloyne?
I can only assume.
Kyle Walker?
Yeah, but I think they're in the squad as well.
Advertising Harden?
Cloyne pulled out, didn't he?
Just grass.
Well, Cloyne's out now, yeah. Sorry, corner actually, that's
flag.
A fair point.
Well, Walker's getting in ahead of him, so I can understand him.
Gareth Southgate himself?
Kind of bollocks, yeah.
Gareth Barry?
Being that good and not getting in, he should.
Time to stick it as well, then.